Let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We'll start there tonight. I'm glad that you're here tonight. I just want you to relax. Relax. Forget all the pressures of the day, all the challenges of your job today and all the frustration, and say, this is my time before God to hear God speak to me. And you just relax in that and say, Holy Spirit, I know you got something for me tonight. And so by faith, I'm going to receive that tonight. You've got a word for me that's going to improve my life, and I'm looking forward to it. Amen? Now, last week, when I was sharing on prayer last week, the prayer of Jabez, I love that study. I love looking at that and looking at Jabez. And you can gain so much from just two verses of the Bible. I mean, it's in Chronicles, it's just genealogy, the whole chapter. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, was the dad of so-and-so, was the son of so-and-so. And then it stops at Jabez. And it says that Jabez was honored above all of his, he's more honorable above all of his brothers. And then he asked God. But before that he said, well, his mama named him Pain. Can you imagine going through life and your name is Pain? Hey, Pain, what a pain, you know. And every year your mom telling about how you were birthed caused her so much pain. That's why we named you Pain. It's kind of like a boy named Sue, you know. I mean, it had to be in a rough life. And I know it was a difficult life at times for him because of the way that he prayed. And it was a heartfelt, sincere prayer. And in that prayer in 2 Chronicles, and you can go back and get the notes from last week, he asked four things from the Lord so that he would not experience pain anymore. See, his life was more than just having a name of pain. He had experienced some areas of pain, and he was sincerely approaching the Lord with his request in four areas. God, I'm asking you to bless me because I've experienced the pain of not walking in your blessing. How many can say amen to that? And Lord, I'm asking for influence, because I understand the influence, the pain of not being influential, of my borders not growing, and I'm just limited and locked down. And Lord, I'm asking for your presence to be with me, that your hand would go with me in all that I do, just like we saw with Abraham. Lord, if you're not going to go with me when you send me out, don't even send me out, because I don't want to go anywhere without you. That ought to be our attitude. I mean, we've done been out there doing it on our own, and that's painful. It's like Jabez. And Jabez is saying, God, I need your hand to be with me. I need your presence. I'm asking for your presence to be with me. And then the fourth thing, God, I'm asking for your protection, because I have experienced the pain of not having your protection in my life. And God, I don't want to experience that pain anymore. How many of us can relate to that? Wow, you know, I can relate to that in such a big way. So many ways that I've gone in life and experienced pain that unnecessarily, if I had just put God first, I wouldn't have had to do that. Well, tonight I want to take you through another area of prayer, and we can call it the prayer of Moses, and I believe it's an intimate prayer. And we go over to Ephesians 6, use that same text that we used last week, Ephesians 6, verse 18, and I'm reading from the God's Word translation. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Now, for just a moment, let me stop for a moment. In the context of this scripture here, this passage, he's talking about the armor of God. That there is spiritual warfare that you and I are engaged in. And we need to put on the armor of God. We need to be strong in the Lord. And when we've done all to do, stand. And then he tells us about praying. Pray in every situation, because you're going to have situations. And you need to be praying. And even at the end of that chapter, you know, Paul said, hey, pray for me that when I minister with boldness, that I have the right words to say. Let's pray for one another. Yeah. And here he's telling you and I, he said, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Good. So this is a communication with God. This is me connecting in relationship with a Father that is a compassionate God and a comforting Father. I need to be connected to the Father in every situation in my life. I should never be disconnected from Him. And God is such a loving Father. From the age of 13 to 21, I never grew in the Word of God. I didn't understand the Word of God. I didn't You know, the handful of times, maybe half a dozen times of the church that I visited during that time period was real formal. The people, they quoted scripture back and forth to the guy up front, and they would quote, and they'd read out of this, but I never learned anything. But from that moment, when I was 13 to 21, in my head, I would pray every night, thinking in my head, asking God, the God I met at 13, that I knew was real, and I named off all of my loved ones, and asked him, would you protect them? In my head, I didn't know I could pray out loud. But I believe that God saw the sincerity of my heart, even in my ignorant state, and he had a plan for my life. And I see many times where he supernaturally protected me. And see, I want to stay connected to God in that way. Even in my ignorance, I don't want to remain ignorant. I want to understand. I want to know God. I want to know how to approach him better. I want to know how to be a better son to my father. And so we got to learn how to pray and what prayer is all about. Just like Jabez, the sincerity of his prayer was, God, I've gone through enough pain separated from you. I want to be connected with you. So the pain that I experience won't be an unnecessary pain that I brought on myself. Might be persecution. Might even be prosecution these days for standing up for what is right. But God, I want to be close to you. And here in Ephesians, he's saying, in every situation, to pray in every situation. He said, use every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert. Use every kind of effort and make every kind of request for all of God's people. So this is not just about me just praying for me. God, just bless me and mine. Let me just overload me with blessings, Lord. But I go to spiritual warfare many times for other people. That's part of the warfare I'm engaged in. If I just stayed disconnected from people, I'd probably have a whole lot less warfare. Come on, I should have got an amen on that. You know, we're in church, you know. Amen. We're people. You pastors sit around and say, boy, that pastor and stuff would be good if it wasn't for people, wouldn't it? But see, you're the same way. In our engaging with humanity, we have challenges, we have situations. But we need to be praying for other people and use every type of prayer interceding for other people. So that means we need to understand some facets of prayer. Okay. Prayer is a discipline. It's the thing that we're going to cover tonight, and we're going to go over to James, the fourth chapter. When we're talking about prayer tonight, it's a paradigm of thinking. It's a paradigm of posturing yourself in faith. And I remember years ago, people were so fanatical about the literal things that were stated in the Word that they had no comprehension of what it was talking about. You know, there's one scripture that talks about Jesus is coming back for those who are looking for his coming. And I thought about, what? I got to sleep sometime. I can't be looking through the clouds all the time. I got to do a job. But it says, I need to be looking for his coming. What about if he comes on the other side of the earth when I'm on this side of the earth and I don't see him coming in the clouds? But what I understood was that that's a facet of our faith. I'm looking for his coming. That's my faith as a child of God, as a Christian. He's coming back. And I may not be looking in the clouds one day, but in my heart, my whole thinking, my concepts, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. That's part of who I am. So, in that same kind of thinking, I want you to think in that way tonight when it talks about prayer, where I'm going to take you tonight. Where, like here in James, the fourth chapter, I'm going to take you there in just a moment. I want to make sure that the way that I'm praying is proper. And I don't want it to have to fulfill an equation every time. A ritualistic prayer is not what I'm talking about. It's a mindset. And it's a discipline. And I'm thinking that sometimes when people are praying, when it says use all kinds of prayer, does it feel like you're into a routine and a rut? Maybe you need to change the way you pray. The way you approach God in your prayer life. So here in James, the fourth chapter. Now, this is a familiar scripture. I'm just kind of plugging it in there to get some brain cells going. How many of you know the devil is roaming about seeking whom he may devour? And I hope that you realize there's been times that he's attacked you. He's challenged you. But here in the scripture in James, the fourth chapter, there's a key here to causing him to flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Now, I've seen people that have bypassed the first part. Well, they got some understanding. The devil's my enemy, and I got authority over him. But they missed something in there. Something wasn't right, and he sure wasn't fleeing from them. Okay. Am I speaking to anybody tonight? Maybe you, okay. But it says, submit therefore unto God and resist the devil. What does it mean to submit to God? What exactly does that mean? Do I yield in some kind of a ritualistic prayer every time in my submission? Or is it a mindset that I need to have in my submission to God? Okay, that's where I want to take you tonight. Now, we're going to go over to Exodus, the 25th chapter. And I want to discuss with you tonight the temple of Moses, the tabernacle of Moses. There's a difference between temple and tabernacle. Temple is one it's a permanent structure. Tabernacle is one that's portable. Okay, so they had this portable tabernacle, portable place of worship, portable place that God would inhabit to meet with people, with his people. And in Exodus 25, it says, have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you. The one thing that I get out of that is that God wants to dwell with us. God wants to meet with you. Now you. Me? Yeah, you. God wants to connect with you. Every single one of us in here tonight. He wants to meet with you. And so let's look at, he wants to be close with you. Now, we've got a picture of the tabernacle. It's just one of the many that you can pull up on Scripture. Let's throw that up there if we will. Are we there? Exodus. Are we there with a picture? Jump right ahead of that. Am I there? There we go. See, this is like a portable tabernacle. I know there's a little cutaway in the last part of that building, but it was covered with like four different layers of material, each one representing something. And I'm not going to go into extreme detail. You can go into hours of teaching on just some of the articles that are in this tabernacle. But just to give you a general eye, we're just going to kind of come through this a little bit. And out front, you see the two things out front, and we're going to cover those. And around this tabernacle would be the 12 tribes would camp out. And then there were certain things that took place in that setting right there, in that tabernacle. We're just going to touch on those tonight, kind of bring a little bit of understanding. Okay, so are you with me? This is the portal. So this was the tabernacle. And there were certain progressive steps that the priest would go through to go in to this tabernacle to meet with God. So you had your outer courts out here where you had the sacrificial area there, and then the laver. I want to say lavatory, but it's laver. It's pronounced funny. And so we're going to touch on those. And certain people could come out into this outer courts, but only certain ones could go into the two inner chambers, which was the holy place and then the holy of holies, and those were the priests. But I want you to consider the fact that the Scripture tells us today that we are priests before God. That we're a holy priesthood, a holy nation. That you're priests before God. And so you need to know how to enter in. It's a mindset. It's not something you enter in every time like you're going to pray, okay, and you just kind of walk through this whole routine. But it's a whole mindset of what you do to enter into the place of God and commune with God. Get into that inner place. So in Exodus 33, let's go over there. So there's certain steps that you go through to get into that inner chamber with God and meet with God. And you need a certain mindset. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're a priest to God. And you need to know the steps to enter into the presence of God. Amen. And that's kind of what we'll touch on. Exodus 33, inside the tent of meeting, listen to this. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. Man, don't you want to stand and talk to the Father and Him talk to you like you're friends? Like you're really close? That's what I want. I want to know how to get to that spot. And so that's what the priest would do. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. And afterward, Moses would return to the camp but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. So prayer time is where God wants to speak to us face to face. And I think he's anticipating it just like we are. He wants to commune with you and speak to you. And so there's these certain steps. So you go from the outside of the tent to the inside where you have the outer courts. When you're in the outer courts, that's a place where we give God thanks, where we're offering to God gratitude. And you know, when you go to God to ask him and request something from him, our first step into that inner chamber is a place of gratitude to go through. And before we even think of the more of what we want from him, we need to thank him for what he's already done. We need to have a heart of gratitude that, Lord, you've done this for me, and I am so grateful. You know, gratitude is one of the healthiest emotions that you and I can have. I saw a little sign over here at Hobby Lobby, and Kathy and I were in there the other day, and it said, gratitude turns what you have into enough. If you have gratitude in your heart, maybe you're not as lacking as you thought you were. God, I'm just so thankful. I think one of the worst emotions is bitterness that's brought on through offense. Offense is one of the greater challenges that I believe are in the church today and challenge the church is people taking offense. And because offense leads to bitterness of heart. You see somebody that's griping and carrying on, they've probably been offended. Oh, I ain't been offended. Uh-huh. Okay. How come you acting like you acting? Right? I mean, I'm going to sidetrack here just a little bit. You know, when it talks about the works of the flesh, and it names all these different things over in Galatians, it says these works of the flesh are obvious, and it names them off. Have you ever realized it's obvious to everybody but you? Okay, y'all got it all figured out. Yeah. I'm talking to me. But a lot of time people are offended. I think one day I need to put together a message on the doctrine of offense and the results of offense and the side effects of offense. Come on. It brings bitterness. But gratitude is one of the healthiest emotions that we can have. And I have things that I need, but if nothing else comes, God, you've done enough for me. You've given me life. And I'm heaven bound. That's the attitude we need to approach with God. Never forget our relationship with God and what he's done for us and be grateful. And here we are asking for more and we haven't even thanked him for what we have already. Yeah. Sometimes people take God for granted, don't they? Yeah. Amen. And listen, it's important. That's important that you're grateful to God. In Psalms 100, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You're going to enter these outer courts with thanksgiving and praise. See, I'm going to approach God properly. I'm going to approach God in faith to receive what I need from God. So we enter in with thanksgiving. And then from there, when you step into, you have this brazen altar where things are sacrificed. I believe we have a picture of that too. Brazen altar. It's just, when you see this brazen altar in the outer courts, it's realizing that something had to die before you could enter in. There's sacrifice that has to be made before you can enter into the presence of God. So here I look at, we have to focus on the cross. We have to focus on what Jesus... The only reason that I am able to enter into the presence of God is because of what Jesus did. The only reason that I can go in with a full assurance of faith and confidence before God is because of what Jesus sacrificed. What he did on that cross represents this brazen altar here. His sacrifice. And I have to go in with a grateful heart what God's done for me and not forget that it's because of Jesus that I can approach God. I can even be in this courtyard is because of what Jesus did for me. So we've got to be thankful for him and consider the cross. Romans 5:6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. So we got to stop and remember that we're able to enter in because of what he did on the cross, what his sacrifice that he made. You know, Jesus was beaten. 4 different major wounds. He was beaten on his back, just flesh ripped from his back. This crown of thorns that they crammed into his scalp and bleeding. in the nails in his hands and his feet and the spear in his side? And see, Isaiah prophetically saw these things that Jesus did for you. In Isaiah in 53, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." So that's my first step into approaching God. That's the first step of my faith, is to appreciate what Jesus did for me on the cross. That blood had to be shed so I could enter in with God. And I never want to forget that. So I want to thank him for what he's already done and remember the sacrifice that he's made. And so when I go past this altar of blood, then I go to this laver. It's a bowl of water to clean up after the sacrifice has been made. And you've gone from this level and wash all the blood and all the impurities off. And the priest had to go in, go to the laver and bathe and wash and even be clean before they could enter into that next level. And I'm saying, well, God, what does that mean to me? How does that represent something in my life of what I'm supposed to look at, the way I'm supposed to think? I've got to offer every part of my life to be cleaned up. To be cleaned up. Anything that you're good at, the devil's going to try to pervert in your life. So I've got to offer it to the Lord. In Ephesians 4, it even talks about the words that we use. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So at that laver, I've got to be purposeful. I have to have intent. You and I walk in as Christians, we have got to be intentional about cleaning up the things in our life. My hands, to be offering my hands to the glory of God, that I don't let my hands run to mischief. My mouth, to control my tongue, even the things that I say, and let the Lord wash me clean, white as snow. Are y'all with me? Because see, I'm wanting to get on in the inner chamber with God. I want to get in there with God. I want to go to the Holy of Holies. So in my personal life, God, I'm just... And listen, I'm not saying we're all going to be perfect. I know there's a representation of all of this that we'd say, hey, what are you trying to tell us? We got to be perfect? No, I'm just saying we got to be intentional. That I want to live a life worthy of the Lord. And I want to be purposeful in my walk and build myself up, cleaning everything up. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Another translation, this is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for us to live for God and to live right for God. Are you with me? So you better quit that bank robbing now. Come on. That ain't pleasing God. Come on now. I'm going to go ahead and talk to God, but I'm going to rob this bank after I get through here. Okay, I know I'm using a silly example, but are y'all with me? I want to be intentional on purposeful in my walk. Clean my vocabulary up. Let God wash even my vocabulary up. Clean that mess up. So I got to offer everything to God. And then from there, then I'm going into this small tent called the Holy Place. And there's four pieces of furniture in this tabernacle. And you go in, and the first thing that you see is the candlestick. Now, listen. I've got pages and pages of my studies of just these different articles in here and what they represent. I'm not a theologian, so I'm just going to give you the general, okay? But the candlestick, there's so many things of representation in there of power and strength and anointing, the oil of the Holy Spirit lighting our lives. And I look at that and I think, man, God, I need to, like, when I read about the priest, every day they would go in twice a day, morning and evening, and make sure that candlelit stay lit. That there's light shining always. Well, guys, we need to let God's light shine through us. We need to be intentional to make sure his light stays lit in me. You know what I'm saying? That it's lit in zeal and passion for the Lord. I need the work of the Holy Spirit in my life to live this out and be a light shining in a world of darkness. I need to care for it consistently and constantly. Just like the priest would go in and make sure the candles stayed lit and that the oil was constantly in that little top portion. We need to make sure we got the oil of the Holy Ghost flowing in our lives, yielding submissive to the Holy Spirit. So we need to stop and ask the Holy Spirit to stir us up, to lead us, to teach us, give us wisdom. I want the work of God to work from the inside out and be the light flowing through me. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 says this, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames." Fan into flames. Sometimes a little bitty ember. The spiritual gift that God gave you. Well, who's responsible for that? Well, I'll come let the preacher help me fan a little bit, but it comes down to it. It's you and I. We have, as priests before the Lord, in our own hearts before God, we're coming in, we got to take care of the candelabra. You and I got to fan into flame that spiritual gift that's on the inside of it. When I laid my hands on you, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and a timidity, but a power, love, and a sound, or a self-discipline, or sound, clear-thinking mind. Every single one of you have a spiritual gift inside of you, whether you use it or not, but it's up to you to fan it into a flame. I believe I'm going to yield to you, Lord, to be the light through my life. Holy Spirit, show me how to walk in power. Show me how to be a witness. Show me how to keep my light shining, how to fan it into a raging flame. So, Holy Spirit, help me stir it up. Help me be a better father. Help me be a better husband. Fan it to a flame. Are y'all getting this? Help me be better at, you name it. Lord, help me do this. Why? Because I want to live a different life. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I want to tap into these things, so I'm going to fan it to a flame. Are you with me? So, then we go over to the table of showbread on the opposite side of this room. The showbread, it's kind of interesting to think about this. The priest would come in and take care of the light, but they also every day switched out these 12 loaves of bread, and the priest would consume the bread. I got to thinking, well, hey, we're to consume the bread of life. You as a priest before God, you need to come in, and every day you need to be consuming the bread of life, the word of God, every word from God. We need to be claiming the promises of God, you and I. Let it be a part of us, consuming it, permeating in who we are. Jesus answered, said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So I want to prepare myself to enter into that Holy of Holies. I want to be consuming the Word of God, consuming the bread of life, Jesus. He became the Word and dwelt among us. I want to spend time with Jesus, submitting myself to God, to God's Word every day. You know what we should be doing is feeding on God's Word every day. Every day. Because there's more to you than just this natural body you're looking at in the mirror. And even if you just take one verse of Scripture every day, it's that important. Because you say, I will intentionally go to the table of showbread and feed from that bread. Feed from that bread. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to defeat the devil, submit to God. Yeah. Consume the Word of God in your life. And then you go, you know, to the altar of incense. To me, this is like the sweetest smell to God. It's worship. It's worship. Lord, I got my light shining, stirring that up. I'm fanning to flame the gifts inside. I'm consuming your word. But there's a moment, there's this time that before we even enter into the presence, it's a place of worship to the God. It's this altar of incense, worshiping his name. See, praise and worship are two different things. Praise is thanking him. Praise is for what he did or does. Worship is for who he is. I dare say there's few people that have gotten to this place right here. Because once you've tasted of it, nothing else compares. When you go in and you open your heart up to the Father and you worship him and you have that intimate reaction, interaction with Him in such intimacy, you yearn for that constantly. Opening your heart up for who He is. Psalms 95, David said, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you would hear His voice." We need to follow David, his example. Come, let us go before the Lord and worship Him for who He is. He's our shepherd. He's the God that loves us. He's my compassionate Father. I heard one quote that said, "A man on his face can never fall from that position." And you're on your face before God, man, you got her made, man. You're doing good. Amen. Proverbs 18, "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Man, I want to press into God. The righteous run into His name, run into who He is. He is the great I Am. He's a God above all gods, from everlasting to everlasting. He's my Father. And Jesus is my Lord, my King. He's righteous. He's truth. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's my Master, my Lord, my friend, my love. Not for what He did. I'm thanking Him for that. But I want to worship Him for who He is in my life. He's my friend. It's like going to the Father God and say, "Dad, I love you." That's what it's about. Just go and say, "Father, I'm not asking anything. I'm just telling you I love you." That's a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. When you just come to the Lord and say, "Oh, Lord, I love you." And what does God do? "Oh, come here. You know what I'm saying? And then He says, "Okay, what can I do for you?" You know, it's like a father, you know. Is that what happens with your kids? It's kind of the way I am. The righteous run to that name. It's God, You're righteous and holy, pure and truth, a good shepherd, counselor. You're the one who protects me, guides me, and protects me and cares for me. So it's pouring our heart out to God. That's what the altar of incense is about. It's pouring our heart out to the Father. See, this is a paradigm of thinking. It's a mindset. It's not a routine I go through every time I go to pray, submitting myself to God. No, it's a whole submission of my heart, the who I am. It's not an equation I had to fit through every time. It's who I am. It's who we are. I'm going to go in and love on God. Pour my heart out to Him. Amen. Speaking of who He is. And then we go into the Holy of Holies. Then's where we see the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. I think we have just a picture of that. And I heard someone preaching about this. And you know, the good thing about going into here and entering the Ark of the Covenant, it's not like the movie The Raiders of the Ark. It's not going to melt your face off. You know, it's like, I love that. I mean, it's going to be an awesome experience. This is the mercy seat. This is the mercy seat. This is our objective, to go in when you face God, the way you're supposed to. At this point, think about it. The time you get to here, to the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, I've gotten myself right with God. I've gone through all these steps of realizing it took a sacrifice and bloodshed for me to enter in. And then I'm cleaning myself up at the altar of Laban, and I'm cleaning myself up. I step through all these stages, getting my heart right to come to the mercy seat, and that's where God meets me. What am I supposed to do at this point? What am I supposed to do when I get to this place? I'm going to do like Jesus did. I'm going to intercede for other people. You notice all the scripture we read earlier about praying the right kind of prayers and for other people, interacting with other people. It's the mercy seat. We intercede for other people, crying out for the needs of other people. That's what Jesus did. He went to the mercy seat, shed His own blood on the mercy seat for all of mankind. And for you and I, I'm going to submit to God. It's not just submitting to God so I can gain power from Him. It's in my relationship to Him. Satan can't stand folks like that. Where my heart is pouring out, getting my heart right, and I'm truly interceding for other people, standing in the gap for other people, marriages and homes and jobs, truly interceding. Folks, we need to be doing this all the time when you're praying for other people, interceding, making intercession, getting your heart right, and get in there with God and plead your case before the throne of God for other people. Praying for marriages, praying for homes, praying for jobs, having a sincere, heartfelt prayer before God. And James says that makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. When we intercede in that fashion, go before God face to face. Last scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 2. As we're interceding, it says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I guess what we ought to do is start with those in authority. Amen. Pray for our president. Pray for our Congress. Pray for the people in the House, the senators. Pray for our local leaders. Pray for our chiefs of police. Pray for our people that are putting their lives, our first responders, putting their lives on the line for us. Interceding for them, all kinds of prayer. Praying success and protection and strength for those around us. And praying for our families and our homes. See what I'm saying? When we're talking a lot of times for prayer, it's not all about me just praying for my needs and my blessings. But God bless me to be a blessing to others. To be a blessing. You know what? This is what we do. And you know what? God will meet us there. Like he told Moses said, build me a tabernacle that I might meet with the people. That I might meet with them. Man, when we get our hearts right, God's going to meet us there. He'll be right there. You can converse with him. Stand before him face to face with boldness and full assurance of faith. Come to the mercy seat in our time of need. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about prayer. And it's a mindset. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. This should be a part of who we are. That with a knowing and understanding, a mindset, that a sacrifice was made for me. That I went to the laven and I cleaned myself up. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been cleaned up. The water, washing by the water of the Word has washed me clean. I'm not the same person. I can enter into the presence of God. I got the Holy Ghost lighting my way, empowering me and strengthening me. I got the Word of God empowering me and giving me sustenance and strength. I've got my heart turned toward God, and I'm worshiping God for who He is, pouring my heart out to God, and I'm approaching that mercy seat for other people. It's a mindset. Amen. We're children of God. Woo! It's exciting. Listen, you know what? And I'll close with this thought that, you know, as over the years when I've taught things like this, where I've seen an awakening come to people by the anointing, it's by the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. And if you're here today and you think, man, I've been away from God, then we need to go back in. You need to pray the prayer to say, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm asking you to forgive me for going my own way. And I'm asking you to come into my life and lead me and guide me and empower me. Let the Holy Spirit be my guide. Holy Spirit, I never want to quit you. Please forgive me. And enter into those places and enter in knowing who you are in the kingdom that you might be meeting with God face to face. We're talking about prayer life. Amen. Amen. We'll pick this up again next week, and we'll look at another facet of prayer of the church world today. So let's stand. I hope you're getting something out of this. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I love my church. I love you guys. I love serving together in the kingdom for His purpose, His design. I love the fact, you know, that we don't have to let our emotions get in the way of serving God together. I love the fact that we can walk in forgiveness to one another. And there's nothing ever that I'm going to do to you, which I'm apologizing ahead of time, that I'll do to you that you have to forgive me of, that Christ hadn't forgiven you of more. That brings great peace to me. Listen, us walking together, you know, we're an imperfect people serving a perfect God. And we're going to make mistakes at times, you and I. As a pastor, I've made plenty of them. I'm not going to tell you about them, because you think I'm all right for the moment. But we walk in forgiveness and we move forward in the kingdom, right? If we do what I've shared with you tonight, if you go through these steps of just a mindset of faith, you'll never battle with bitterness, resentment, and offense. You'll have your heart right before God. And the enemy will not have an end in your heart. I don't like him having any leverage over me. You with me? I don't like him having anything that he has the power over me. So I've got to keep my heart right before God. And I love walking with brothers and sisters who have that same heart attitude. And we just love God and love one another. And we're going to see great success. We're going to see people who come in that are looking for what you have. There'll be those times when people come into your life. You live before God. You live like this. They're going to come to you someday and say, I need what you have. What is it you have? I don't know what you got, but I need what you got. I need what makes you smile in the midst of adversity. What gives you hope in the midst of tragedy. Joy in the sadness. I don't know what you got, but I need it. And we got the answer. It's Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.